Hello, everyone. Turn my song list called Deep Shit off. I literally have one called The Deep Shit. All right. This is going to be our coaching call for today. The first thing I want to do is make sure you guys can hear me okay. Can you tell me in the chat if you're hearing things just fine? I don't have my mic on. I have just my Mac on, so I just want to make sure everything's coming through okay. If you will, y'all let me know in the chat. You can hear me just fine. Okay, good. I'm going to just not wear my headpiece today because I have fabulous earrings on, and I used my mic last night with my fabulous earrings, and everybody said all they could hear was my earrings clanging. So as they say, it's better to look good than to feel good. All right. We're starting with weekly planning. So we have an exciting weekly plan today is because I am leaving in about, well, I guess it's 24 hours from now. I will be headed to Arizona for a week-long training with Miss Kathy Hartman. And I have one restaurant in the hotel. I have a small fridge in the room, like a mini fridge, not like a huge one. And that's all I know. So this morning I was doing my weekly plan for this week since I have to eat out every single meal. I know this, like, a lot of y'all freak the fuck out when you have to travel and you're just like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I won't know what I'm eating. I don't know. Let me just tell you, here's the short of it. I know they have a restaurant. I took a look at the menu, and as usual, restaurants have protein. They usually have salads. They usually have potatoes. They have the things. I know in the mornings I want to work out. And I know that I still have to work in the mornings. I can't just be like, oh, here I am just learning away all day. I want to make sure that I'm checking in the Facebook group and I'm making sure that, you know, all like just the things that I do for you guys. I've got some videos to record, like those weekend motivators. I've got like 3 or 4 ideas. So I want to film them while I'm there. So what I want to do is I want to make sure that I have thought ahead and I'm like, okay, if I don't know what I'm having for lunch because the people are doing it and I know that I'm not leaving the hotel at night to go rendezvous everywhere to go eat, because let me just tell you, I'm an old lady. I like to be in bed by 8:30 and we don't end every day until 7 o'clock. There is no way this ass is Ubering to restaurants just to be able to have varieties. It's just not happening. So what I did was I said, okay, I can have some stuff delivered. So I know that Shipt comes to the hotel and I know that I have a small fridge. So I have on here that I will have Shipt send me 12 pre-hard boiled eggs, 5 bananas and a jar of natural peanut butter. Or I can have them send me a box. I have 2 options. I'm still trying to decide. I can also have them send me 5 Greek yogurts, full fat. I can have them bring some blueberries, keep the hard-boiled eggs, and Fiber One, because I have got, oh yeah, and I also want some cashews. So I think, just talking out loud to you guys, I'm going to go with option 2. So what I will do is I will also order some little, just, you know, picnic bowls or whatever, and some plastic spoons. I'll have all of that shipped to the hotel. And then in the mornings, what I'll do is, because if I'm going to work in the morning, I'm not going to want to have to go spend time in a restaurant trying to sit there and eat and do all the things. I have, like, I want to wake up. I want to journal every day. Y'all know who I am. I will be up at 4 so I can make sure I'm getting my journaling done. I'm going to want to get my workouts done because that 5K ain't happening without Corinne. So I'm still going to do my training. And then I'm going to do my work session. And then I'm going to get ready. And I want to be able to just roll straight in, already have 8 and ready to go. So I'm going to do the Fiber One. So let me tell you my super secret recipe. This is cranked up old school Corinne. All right. I used to make, if you are old school tribe, you know what I'm talking about. I used to have an affair with the Fiber One. Like, I love that cereal. Don't ask me why. I also used to love Raisin Bran. I've always been kind of I don't know. Maybe it's because I've always dealt with colon issues. I've been a lover of anything that's good and fibrous. But I'm going to have them bring me the Fiber One. So I'm going to put that in a bowl. Then I'm going to dump the whole container of the Greek yogurt on top of it. And I'm going to stir that bad boy up. And I'm going to throw in some blueberries. And I'm going to throw a few nuts on there. And I'm going to have 2 hard-boiled eggs with it. that is a breakfast fit for a queen that should, one, keep me going to the bathroom all week long. If I'm going to work out first thing in the morning, it's got a good mix of fat. It's got a good mix of carbs. It's got a good mix of protein in it. Can eat that easily in the room. So I got some more fiber one. Oh, wait, no. Oh, yeah, somebody said like my old cottage cheese cereal. I used to do that too. But the Raisin Bran, yes, I have another Raisin Bran lover in the house. And then I am going to do, I'll do all of that first thing in the morning. I'll be drinking water all day. I'm going to bring my Extend that I always mix into these. I'm just going to bring one of my PNP, what do you call them? Canisters, thingies that you drink out of, water things. I always drink out of these when I travel. I bring one usually with me. I will bring that and I will keep my Extend going. I just like the Extend, guys. It makes it easier for me to drink my water. You do not need to have it, all that things. And then I will, for lunch, be eating whatever they serve us. So I don't know if it'll be a box lunch. I really don't know what it'll be. So I'm just going to eat whatever they serve us. I'm guessing that they had sent an email out that said that they know they have health conscious people. So they're going to try to make sure that they have health conscious choices. I am pretty sure I can figure it out. And if all else fails, I've got my hunger scale to take along with me for the ride. And then for dinner, we're just going to be eating at the hotel. So the other option I have is I've got somebody searching for me to see if there's like a, if there's a Whole Foods or something close by and shipped, or we have Instacart also. It doesn't ship to our house, but we still have Instacart. If any of that delivers and there's a Whole Food, I might can just have them bring some stuff there if I don't feel like eating in a restaurant. But the thing is, I thought it through. That's the most important part of it, guys. It's not, will Corinne eat exactly these things? And if she doesn't, like, oh my God, she must have forgot how to teach everybody how to lose weight. No, it will be, I have really thought it out. So I'm not going and feeling helpless or at the effect, or I just have to eat whatever's there. Like all that doo-doo that you guys sit around and think about, this is how you don't think about that stuff. You just think it through ahead of time for yourself. That's it. I went onto the website. I know they have a gym, so I have a treadmill. And I know that Arizona's pretty, guys, but I'm such a weirdo. Like, I just like staying inside most of the time. So if it's really nice in the morning and I won't be cold, I might go outside and do my runs. It just depends on the area. But I always have a treadmill that I can just get down and get dirty on. I love to keep as much routine when I travel in as possible. When I'm still journaling, when I'm still doing my exercise in the morning, I'm still waking up early and doing those things, that is just enough priming of the pump for routine to get me to eat more routinely like I would at home. And I think that's really important. My big 1% level up this week is just pay close attention to leaving food behind. I know I'm going to be eating in restaurants. They're likely to be serving me more food than I am going to need. Maybe they won't. Maybe I'll get to be a part of the Clean Plate Club. But I want to be part of the Clean Plate Club because it fits my body, not because I just want to clean my plate. So this week, knowing that I'm going to be eating out for every meal, my big level up this week is to pay real close attention to leaving a little food behind, sit with it for a minute, and if I still want to finish it, then just fucking finish it. If you don't want to finish it after you've looked at it for a little bit, then guess what? That's what you do. So it's like, just leave it. You never know. But most of you are so worried about what you're going to think that you don't even do the stuff to see what you'll even think. Let's see. I will be honest. I have planned wine for every day. Let me tell you why. I do not want to be sitting there trying to convince myself to not drink wine every night. I'm just putting it on the plan, and then every night I will decide, do I want my wine or not? That is so much easier for me to do when I'm traveling, when I'm away from the boys, when I'm sitting there. I don't know if you guys know this, but this is how Kathy Hartman sleeps. Here's a pillow, and here's her face. She sleeps face down. I wake up about 10 times a night and think, oh, my God, my co-host is going to smother herself to death. I don't know why I think when she sleeps with me that's such a different experience than she does when she's at home, but we're going to be rooming together. I'm just going to like plan to have it. And if I don't want it, I always can choose no. And I will know that no is always an option. No is always on the table. But I don't want to lie to you guys and like be there. And like, one, I don't want to set myself up to be thinking about it all day long. And I just know me. When I am at a conference and my brain is on all day, if I start at 4 in the morning and I work and I work out and do all the things, and then I start learning all day long, and then my brain is like, oh my God, we can do this in the tribe. And oh my God, we should be. By the end of the evening, my chatter brain will start. And I would rather have it on the plan and choose no than to sit there and then be like, I've got to be, you know, leveled up, and I'm going to have to negotiate, and I'm going to have to tell myself no. I'm just not doing it. And that's always a choice, guys. You don't have to always do that stuff if you don't want to. It doesn't always mean you're going to lose some weight. But sometimes, like for me this week, like I'm not trying to lose weight, but I know that if I eat really sensibly and then each night I have 2 glasses of wine, and some nights I might not choose it because I'm like, I am tired, then that is going to get me the result I want at the end of the week, which is showing up for myself and making this week as easy as possible for myself. This makes all of that, all those dreams come true. So then the way that I tie it together, since I don't have to, there's no recipes involved or anything like that, is each day I get up, I journal a thing, and then I will do my 24-hour plan, and I will assess every single day, and I will just be honest with myself. And I think that's one of the things that I want you guys to take away from these weekly planning sessions that we're doing, is that the honesty that you have with yourself, like a lot of you want to hide from yourself as if like it's not happening if I'm not admitting it. That is such a lie. When you don't know what you're thinking and when you're not telling yourself the truth on paper, I was just writing this for our No BS is getting a complete overhaul and rewrite and new recordings and everything to be released at the end of December. And I was just writing in the module that talks about our models and our intentional and unintentional models. And I was saying, you know, thoughts that we don't look at are happening on our action line and our result line. We're eating and gaining weight. Thoughts that are examined don't make it to the action line and the result line. They have to pass muster first. The more we look at the things that we're thinking and the more we're trying to figure out, is there a new way to think about this? Could I stop judging this thought long enough to kind of like really examine why I'm holding on to it? All of those things. Eventually, your action line and your result line become completely different. They become what you want. You get to be deliberate about what actions and results that you get in your life. And I think that's really key. Okay. Now, I'm going to have to tell Chris, y'all are going to have to hang on for a minute. It is so hot up here. I'm dying. He's going to have to turn we fixed the heat and it's made it like hell. If you want to get coached, now's the time to raise your hand. And, Shipt is SHIPT. It's like another Instacart delivery service. It's just another one of those services that will deliver you things. But if you want to get coached today, go ahead and raise your hand. And then I'm going to be right back. I got to get this heat turned down. Chris, are you up here? Sorry, guys. I told Chris, I was like, my hands are even swelling. I got all the lights on, all the things. All right. Missy Shay, calling on you first. For a reason.
Oh, boy.
Hello.
I would like everybody to see. Where are you guys at? Ohio? Columbus?
We are in Ohio, near Dayton.
Hello.
I'm going.
Did y'all get like a meeting room to have your meetup?
We are at my church having a watch party, doing crafts, and eating food.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all are doing all the things then.
Yes.
Everybody say hi.
Hi.
I would just like all of the people to know that they, like, tell them again what all you guys decided to do so that if other groups want to do this, they too can replicate this.
Well, I got the Sunday school area at my church, and everybody brought food. And we have a craft that we're doing. We're making magnets, and some of them have your face on them.
I don't doubt it. Y'all always pick some amazing picture of me. I'm always like,
great. Yeah, it's the one where you're going.
Oh, okay. My fist pump.
Yeah, and then we are having a watch party while we do our craft and watching your call
smart.
Here.
That's smart.
But yeah, we got 11 people, and we're all in Ohio, Buckeyes.
All right. Did anybody I know in there?
Anybody what? Anybody you know? Okay, everybody tell who you are.
I think I see Becky Coakley. I can't really see.
Susan Cavito.
Wendy Miller.
Tracy Lewis.
I know Tracy and Wendy.
Renee Williamson.
Stephanie O'Neill.
Cheryl.
Peggy.
Hey, y'all. Well, that's awesome. Y'all should, like, y'all need to all pay attention and do some more of this stuff. I was thinking that would be really good for accountability groups. Some of them show up to these calls all together, and then they watch online together in the chat. So yeah. It's even better, like, doing it live. Okay, well, I'll let y'all get back to crafting. Y'all make some stuff with my face on it.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, bye, y'all. Okay, Rebecca, you're next. Well, I don't know what happened to Rebecca. Judith, go with you. Oh, wait, here comes Rebecca. Judith, I'm going to, like, put you back down, and then you'll be next.
Okay. Let's take a minute.
All right, Rebecca.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
What was okay. I don't know what to say. I'm nervous. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Can you start your video?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Okay. So I joined in September. This is the first time I'm on here.
All right.
So I've been a groupie since end of 2017.
Oh, wow.
And I lost a lot of weight. I lost about half of what I needed to lose. I lost a ton of mental weight. I trained for a half marathon. I've never been a runner. I did some amazing, I pole dance, and I did some amazing things with my dance class. And I came to Nashville. I live in France currently. And I came to Nashville. I did my half marathon. It was the Rock and Roll Nashville.
Oh, yeah. That's a good race. I've done it several times.
It was so fun. And I gained everything back. I have no idea what happened. I couldn't run anymore. I can't pole dance anymore. My thought work, broke.
All right, let's not say that we don't know what happened, because that's not true. I'm going to take my earrings off. Did you get injured, or did you just stop doing things?
No, I did not get injured, but after when I tried to start running again, even just 3 kilometers, I thought I was going to die. Of course, it was right when it got so hot in Nashville. Like, mm-hmm. It was so hot.
So you do know why. It got hot, and it was hard, so I stopped running.
But before then, I had been getting up at 5 in the morning so I could get my jog in before it got so hot. But even when I got back, and even with the weather cooling off and start, it's like, when I try and get out there, I just feel really sluggish. And when you pole dance, you have to go upside down on the pole. And I finally
I have pole danced.
Do what?
I have pole danced. We used to have one in our house. Just a little tidbit for all the girls out there. Like, the very first meetup I did with P&P girls, there was a delivery on the front porch for Father's Day, and they're like, "What's that?" And I was like, "Oh, Chris, it's a Father's Day present." It was a pole for the house.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
That's funny.
All right. Let's go back to you.
Yeah.
You do know why you stopped. Because it's hard. It's not a mystery. You've said it, and you haven't said it's hard, but you've given me every reason why it's hard.
It hadn't been, so I don't understand why.
What does it matter? Your brain, why, like, tell me. Like, if I said, okay, it was exactly this reason. Now, tomorrow, you're going to be like, all right, I'm highly motivated. Let's go. That fixed it. Now I know why.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still doing it. I'm still doing my jogging. I'm still doing my pole dance. And
but tell me what the problem is then. If you're still doing it, why are you here? Because you said I've lost everything and regained it all back. That was your sweeping description of where you're at now.
Okay, no, that's what happened. But okay. I never stopped. I okay. kept on doing, the four circles really, really helps me. And so I keep doing all of that and I keep putting my goals in, but I was kicking ass and achieving all my goals. And now everything I had achieved, my level went way down and my weight went way up, which might be why my level went down.
Maybe it is. I'm going to tell you, if I had said before you started running the half marathon, how much weight have you gained?
I gained back. So I lost 10 kilograms, which is about 22. It's about half of what I wanted to lose. And I gained back about 9.
So is that 9 pounds or is that like 18
kilograms? So it would have been like 22. I gained back what, like 20, 19?
Right, let's say 20 just for easy math. So here we are. We're both going to run the country music. And I'm like, hey, I got this 20 pound backpack. I want to slap that on you. And I want you to go have an amazing time. And I don't want to hear no bitching that it's harder.
Yeah.
So now we know why it's harder. We do have more weight. So we can just quit wondering, why does it feel harder? Why is it all these things?
Yeah.
It's a two-part reason. One, I've gained weight. Two, I'm focused on where I was and comparing me now to that person versus just focusing in on this version. And how are we going to get to the next one?
Yes.
All of your attention is on the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's on the past, and it's also on, I'm going to Nashville. Sorry. In January. Sorry. I miss home a lot. My son lives in Nashville now, so I miss him a lot.
You go from France to Nashville?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm from Nashville, and I've been in France for like 25 years.
Okay.
And my kids are older now, and one of them went to live in Nashville. So I've got one in each country now, and I'm going to Nashville in January. I'll be staying for 2 months working as a nurse there. And every time I go to the States, I gain a lot of weight. And my husband tells
me. Go ahead. Why do you think that happens?
I pig out. I eat home. Like, I feel like I'm eating home, like everything I miss and all my friends and family that I miss.
So why are you not just missing them? Why do you feel like you need to eat through them?
I miss the food too. I like Krispy Kreme and stuff.
Yeah, but you can always plan that.
I didn't know when I came this time. I know this always happens to me. And my husband was like, if you gain the weight, just don't come back. If you come back to the airport and you look like you do every time, I'm just going to send you back and everything. And
why do you think he says that?
He says he doesn't like fat people. So.
Okay. So that's your husband's opinion.
Yeah.
And we know that he gets to keep it. I don't think that's really the problem.
No, it's...
I want to know why you're eating when you're in Nashville. Because you know you can plan. If you want
Christmas, yeah, and I did.
You can, right?
I did.
So
I planned...
Did you gain?
Oh, I did. I planned every day up until I had my half marathon. I did okay. And after that, I do not drink. I just don't drink alcohol. I went out drinking with my girlfriend, like, every night. I felt sick. Digestively, I was just like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And I just ate everything. I was planning every morning, and I planned very realistically because I've binged since I was a young teen. So I planned very realistically, and that's what helped me lose weight. And then about lunchtime.
So you were planning realistically in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And then after you did your race, you would plan realistically.
Yeah, I would plan like Krispy Kreme, a restaurant. I mean, I knew I was going to eat it, so I planned it.
Okay.
And And then I just went crazy. I would eat like 20, you know, candy bars when I went to Kroger's or, you know, like.
Why do you think you were doing that? So there's a difference between eating your planned Krispy Kreme. What I want to put on your action line is, would you, like if it's 20 candy bars, would you say that you were binging?
Oh, I was binging. Yeah.
Let's put binging on the action line. And let's put in the circumstance, realistic plan in Nashville after the race.
I think I know the thought.
All right, tell me.
I'm going to gain it all back. I knew I was going to gain it. I went in with the thought, I've got the tools now. I'm going to plan. I'm going to kick ass. I'm going to come back. But I also had the thought, I had two other thoughts. One was, I know I'm going to get it all back. And the other was, I cannot believe all of the things I've achieved. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't believe it.
But that's a different model. That's a, like when you say, look, let me ask you this. When you think, I can't believe I've accomplished all this, how does that make you feel?
I was amazed. I was like, holy shit.
So that's a different model that's not playing in this one.
Okay.
I'm going to have to turn my lights out because y'all can't see it. It's just, there's so much glare in here. You can keep talking.
Yeah, I think I knew all along I was going to gain weight. I mean, I was telling myself otherwise, but I think deep down I had that other belief, you know?
Yeah, so I'm going to gain all my weight back.
And I did. I was so scared. I remember just being scared. And that's how I feel now when I'm going to go in January. I'm just like, I finally got back on track, you know, in September after trying all summer. And I'm so worried and scared it's going to happen again.
Why do you know? Hey, let me just say this. Everybody in the comments, we're not going to talk negatively about her husband. And I do this at camp and stuff. It doesn't help her. His opinion is his opinion. And us putting our focus on how he should be acting, what he should be saying and stuff, does not let her address. She's not talking to herself in the way that she should be. And I'm not chastising y'all, but this always happens. And this is just good for everyone to always hear. When we have someone with an opinion over here and someone says it, the best thing you can always do in your accountability groups and stuff is to bring it back to, but what is your opinion of yourself? That's the only opinion we can ever change. Mm-hmm. And your current opinion of yourself is, I'm going to gain all my weight back. And it is this, you're setting yourself up for the same. Remember when I asked you about comparing yourself to your old self? Mm-hmm. You're doing it again. Yeah. You're saying, well, because I did it this time, that must mean this is what will happen this next time.
Oh, versus, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This is what happened last time. Let me strategize and figure out what to do about the next time.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's always that option.
Yes, that's what I really want, but I'm so afraid. I'm so worried.
What are you worried about and what are you afraid of?
Well, I'm worried I'm going to gain my weight back. And he, you know, I mean, we've had sex twice in 6 months because he's like, I don't want to touch your fat rolls and stuff. I mean, it's been like that forever. And, you know, again, that. It's been like that for, you know, 15 years.
Are you making your weight? This is what I want to figure out. Are you making your weight mean you either get his approval or not his approval?
Hmm. Probably.
Well, that's why you're so afraid.
Yeah.
It's not about gaining the weight. This is why it's so important. Stay really focused on this stuff. The weight is just a result of your fear of losing your husband. And if you're very afraid of losing your husband, especially if you've been coping your entire life with food, then you're going to continue to like drive the need for the food.
Mm-hmm. And when I was doing so well with you as a groupie and had lost so much weight, he's been verbally abusive since we got together. And I was too young to really know and understand that. And I don't want to say that he was verbally. I hated it when people are like, oh, just don't let him talk to you that way. But and it, I don't want to say it was because I let him talk to me like that. But when I was doing so well with my thought work, he did a couple of times and I didn't have the same reaction at all. And he just stopped. He just stopped. Well,
let me tell you this. This is what I think that I want to pull out for you. It's easy for people to say, don't let him talk to you like this. This is what I want to offer you. Don't let his words, which are now your circumstance, taint your thought line. You get to decide. If he says, I don't want to touch you because what was it that you said?
It's disgusting to touch your fat rolls.
So realistic plan in Nashville after the race, I'm going to guarantee you his words are like kind of going through your head. So I'm going to take that circumstance out. You've got several models. This model is a product of that model. I know this sounds crazy, guys, but we got husband model running. And then it spills over into this next model. The fear of losing him makes it like, I just know I'm going to gain all my weight back. Because if I eat from fear and he is saying words that I interpret to be scared of, then I have no hope. I have set myself up for failure.
I'm going to have to go back and listen a lot.
Listen to it again. I'm going to say this one more time. So the model is, I don't want to touch your fat rolls, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is like heavy modeling, just so you know. So if you're a little confused, I want you to feel very normal, and I want you to listen to it a couple times.
I will.
I'm going to try to slow it down a little, okay?
Okay.
So I don't want to touch your fat rolls, and your thought is, I'm going to lose him.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to lose him? Do you want to be like, I just want to know where your head is. Do you want to be with him or not?
Up until like 2 months ago, yes. Over the past 2 months, we just moved, which is, see, there are lovely decoration. We just moved into a house we have to renovate. Mm-hmm. And it's been really rough, and he's been unkind.
Okay. What? Say the word. Saying all the words.
It's been very unkind. He's been an asshole. It's been really hard.
Okay.
He takes everything out on me.
Well, this is what I don't want to jump into that model, just because everything you when you re-listen, I want you to listen to those three sentences you just said. Each one of them is a model about your husband, of your thoughts. That's why I was saying he says the words and then you're interpreting it. He's an asshole. He's taking it out all on me. He's mm-hmm. been very unkind. Those are separate mm-hmm. models. But I'm going to show you exactly with this one why it's so important for you to work all of them. We're not working models for you to decide to stay with this man and make lovely peace with everything he says. We're doing these models to show you how you control your thinking. He doesn't.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I'm going to lose him. And that makes what? You were feeling what? Scared?
Scared.
And so we binge to get away from feeling this. And then the result is I lose myself.
You're good. Oh, my God. I've felt for years that I don't have a place. I don't have a place. I don't belong. This is your place. Wow. lost myself. And I have a place here. Yeah.
You have a place in your own brain. That's what we've not figured out yet. That's what you have to start doing. It, and I know that you've been with someone who has, like, you know, said all these things. And guys, I don't like calling it abuse and stuff, because that is a word that she has feelings very attached to. And what we want to do is get her to a place where it's like, he says stuff to me, but I get to decide what this means, not him. If he doesn't want to touch my fat rolls, his choice. But I still get to be proud of me. I still get to do the things I want to do for me. And, you know, if he doesn't want me back, his choice, and I'll figure it out. And it might hurt. Like, there's nothing wrong with even being sad. I mean, it's like, I tried to love you for 20-something years. I was amazing. You were not. I'm sad that, you know, you're saying no to all of this. Stuff like that is like ways that we can be thinking about situations instead of, I'm going to lose him. I need to binge. I don't know what's happened to me. I've lost him. Like, all of that does not have to be happening.
Yeah. That's a lot of stuff tangled up. Gosh. Yeah.
Why don't you?
I don't know if when I go home, if one of the things that has me eating so much is it's like the only place where I feel like me. And I go back to kind of my late teens, you know, before I came to France. So I find that, you know what I mean? And
do you feel like, just because you feel like, you may feel like yourself, but is that the self you want to feel like is the real question?
Yeah.
My suggestion for you is not only to I've actually got three suggestions for you. I am such a fire hose of information all the time. Number one, I want you to do what I was talking to you about earlier, about like just him in general and those three thoughts that you listed out. I would love for you to just do your models on that.
Okay.
I don't want you changing them, and I don't want you having to believe something new, but I want you to at least see, this is my thinking about it that causes my feelings.
Okay.
We have to separate from, he causes your feelings. He does not. No man, no woman, no person ever. I don't care if you feel immense love in this world for someone. The only reason why I feel so much love for my husband is because I decide to love him at some point. My brain has to like it. My brain, like, there are just as many women that would be married to my husband who would bitch and moan. I don't do that. So I want all of us to just take credit for, if I'm feeling something, no matter what it is, I always own it. Because if you always own your feelings, no fucking body can ever control you ever again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to think about when you said, when I go back to Nashville, I feel like my old self.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to think about, is that the self that I want to feel like? And if not, who is the self I want to feel like? What version of me do I want to, like, how does she think? How does she feel? How does she show up? Really understand that person on paper so that when you're in Nashville and you're not acting like her, it gives you a pause to be like,
yeah.
I don't think I'm showing up in the way that I would love to for myself. Do I want to do that now or not? And it's just going to be a choice, and it's not going to be like, oh my God, I knew it. I was going to gain all my weight back. It's like, we're not making this a drama. Okay. I'm either showing up in the way that I would like to, or I'm not. And I'm going to have compassion for myself to not verbally abuse myself like this guy.
mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk to myself in the way that I deserve to be talked to. Most important voice that will ever echo in your head will always be your own. When that voice becomes the loudest and the most important, the other voices will never matter.
Yeah. And I think my voice has been his, you know.
Yeah. It's just time for you to start separating it out.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
This is just a job. We're separating this out now. The last thing that I would do is I would just start telling yourself every single day, in Nashville, I'm going to have the time I create. I get to decide that. I can recreate what's happened or I can create a new one. That's all that's going on. Taking a lot of that like bullshit past and emotion out of it is so much easier. Write this stuff. When do you come to Nashville? January?
Mm-hmm.
Write a lot about it.
Okay.
Between now and then, spend all your time when you're journaling, journal about this stuff.
Okay.
This will solve food. Stop thinking about food and start thinking about real problems. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
I know, it's a lot. This video will be up. I'm believing it will be up by tomorrow. So just, you listen to your coaching call. Listen to it a lot.
I've got a lot of homework and I'll be doing it. And thank you so much for all of the free material you give for everybody, because it changed, it really did change my life until I let it stop. And for all your help today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye, sweetheart.
Thank you. Bye. I don't know how to
try. Oh, I got it. Don't worry. So over here in the comments, you know, I know a lot of times I like throw stuff out there. And I don't mean to be so stern with you guys in the middle of things, but let me explain. I don't know why my camera's acting crazy today. I hope that you guys see through that coaching. It was so good. Honestly, whoever posted about, like, you know, it's very easy for us to villainize someone. That's always the easy part. It's always easy to think somebody else is wrong and they shouldn't do these things. And it feels helpful and it feels so good. But what it ultimately, like in these sessions, what ends up happening is she never sees that she's totally in her own power. It takes us away from it. Like, it literally just reinforces that all of that is why we are the way we are, versus I get to fucking decide who I'm going to be. There is nobody else in the world who gets to do that. And nobody else should be doing it either. There's like those of us who feel like there are people out there who shouldn't be doing it. And then there's those of us, thanks babe. My husband has been like water boy today. This is the third one he's brought me. Then there's those of us who want other people to do the work for them. Like, I just want them to change. I just want them to do all these things so that I don't have to worry about changing my own thoughts. None of it flies. It just never works. Your brain is your brain. It always has its own thoughts. And we can want other people to do things all the time, guys. But if your brain is conditioned to find fault with someone, they may level up for you. But you will find, if you don't find fault in them, you'll find fault in something else. We have to teach our brains how to actually start thinking to our own benefit. Okay, today is becoming a teachy-ass call. So there you go. All right. Let's see. Tina, I have not talked to you in forever. Miss Tina, this will be a pleasure. I'll tell you what, it feels so much better in here since I turned these lights off. Even though I look different, I definitely feel better. I'm as hot as all get out. Hello, how are you?
I miss you so much. Hello.
I know, I'm so glad to see your name pop up on the thing.
I know. Well, I've been hiding and I need life happened. I had some deaths in my family and some big transitions coming up. And so weight loss just didn't rank in my priorities. And now I'm ready to get back to it. So here I am.
Okay. What do you want to work on?
I was listening to the last call, and I think just working on some thoughts about, well, what I've been journaling about is I'm not starting over because I've already started. I'm just at a different place in the woods. And so it feels like starting over. It feels like it's new, but it's just the same. So I'm working on
why are
editing.
You so teary-eyed? What's going on in your head?
There's a lot of shame about it. I mean, I've been in the tribe for a while, and I think that it's a matter of there's so much knowledge, there's so much I know. And before you started the call, something that really resonated with me was the actions and results. And I think that I oftentimes spend so much time trying to fix how I'm thinking that I don't spend much time in the second half of the model because I'm trying to adjust how I'm approaching my thoughts. And I don't really.
Let me ask you this. What if there's no needing to fix how you're thinking?
Say more about that.
There's nothing wrong with your thinking.
That's probably true. I'm probably hiding in my thinking. That's probably a noble obstacle, as our friend John Incuff says. So
I want you to think for a moment that if you're trying to fix your thinking, why would you say that? Because you think your thinking is what?
Is not correct. Or there's something wrong with it.
There's something wrong with my thinking. Rather than this is just what I'm thinking right now.
Right.
You're blaming, this is what happens. You're blaming everything that's happened, like on your thinking, rather than just being, you know what? I don't blame anything. I'm here. There's nothing wrong with my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just working on the next level of thinking I would like to do. This is where shame starts coming into play.
Yeah, that's what I've been, I feel like in the quicksand of shame for a while.
Yeah. How much weight have you gained?
Not that much, like 5 or 6 pounds. Like I maintained throughout most of this last year.
Okay. So we maintained our weight and then we gained let's just say six. We've gained six pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else I need to know about the sea lion?
No, I'm still as old as I ever was.
Still looking young. See, even with a hard year, you don't even look like you aged.
I moisturize and I drink my water, if nothing else.
That's right. So maintained most of the year. Then I gained 6 pounds. I feel shame.
Yeah.
It's quite dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah, when you write it like that. Yeah.
All I did was pull out your fact.
Yeah.
And then I just asked you. It's quite dramatic. It's not wrong. It just might be overkill for this.
Yeah.
Like, what if you don't need to, like, dig around in your brain and fix things and all this other stuff and just be like, overkill.
So then, so I guess what I'm looking for are, so I feel like now I have a language of, okay, this is overkill. Like this emotional reaction is overkill to the circumstance and the thoughts that I'm having about this situation. What then?
Circumstance.
Say that again.
Just the circumstance. Like right now, we've basically moved shame to your sea line.
Okay.
It's like, that's overkill.
Yeah.
Like, I'm allowing you to have maintained most of the year, gained six pounds, and I feel shame. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm, like, giving you that as a circumstance, even though nobody else do that in your own journal. And I want you to have your thought of when you feel the shame. Like, I don't want you, like, digging around for shame. Like, we don't need to figure it out. We know why. You're like, well, I've been in the tribe a long time. I gained my weight. I don't like that. Like, you know what that problem is. We don't need to solve for that.
Right.
We know that none of that will ever be useful. But when you start feeling the shame, move it up to the sea line and say, well, that's overkill. Like, why am I taking this so seriously?
So when shame becomes my circumstance in that situation and we switch to that model of shame as a circumstance, then the action is just next best decision or like what?
Yeah,
I think that's where
it's so boring. I think that's what's really hosing you is that here's this model and I feel shame. And this is why most of you get hosed up. Like, let's say that's overkill. It becomes boring. Action is eat my basics. We kill the 6 pounds is the result.
Okay.
But here's what most of us want to do. I'm going backward. I obviously have thoughts I need to fix. I don't know what's happened to me. I'm starting all over. And I think there was at one point you said something about that it was very dramatic. When you re-listen to it, you'll laugh your ass off because the way you described it was hilarious. And I can't think of it, but it was like a novella.
Yeah, probably. Like, I am the James Joyce of...
But yeah, but that's what your brain's doing. So if it's a dramatic thing, then oh my God, it's going to take dramatic models to solve this rather than, oh wait, I'm just supposed to write. You mean, Corinne, seriously, I'm going to write my plan and just eat it? What? What about when I'm feeling all my shame? Well, you're going to eat the plan and then you're going to tell yourself that's overkill. Like, it's a boring thing. That's why most of us don't choose it, because if we don't have our weight over here to work on and obsess on and do all this other stuff, then you don't have to worry about like all the other thought work you might need to be doing on the people that died.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's where your thought work is, but for some reason, at some point, whatever happened this year, you'd relied on food.
Yeah.
I would be more interested in just getting back to my basics here and then be curious as to why at some point you decided food was a better option than feeling.
Yeah. Okay.
And have no shame about that.
Yeah.
That's when we do our best work around our weight. It's not about the weight loss. It's about, all right, this is what I want to do, but I want to figure out who I am through the process. I want to know why I would eat when I'm stressed or when I'm sad or when I'm grieving. I would like to understand why I turn to that, not from a place of that's going to fix me, but just like, I want to know, because you said life happened. Hey, guess what? Life happens every second.
Yeah.
You're going to have another time where a series of events will happen and food will either be the option or it won't be. And it will all be based on what you learned from this experience.
Yeah.
What do you think, Missy?
Well, I'm thinking that before PNP, it wouldn't have been maintain and then gain 6 pounds. It would have been gain 30 and then wait a few years, feel really shitty, and then get so incredibly tired of myself and the situation, then I do something drastic. And so this just, I think there's a lot in the idea of like, this isn't hard and it's not that interesting. Like, it's making the plan, it's drinking the water, it's getting the sleep, doing the hunger scale.
It's super exciting. And it's not going to be super challenging to figure it all out and solve and fix. It's just literally going to be making plans and eating them. And yeah. I think for you, it's like taking pride in knowing like, the worst that happened was 6 pounds.
Yeah.
I obviously am a different person now.
Yeah.
And you build off of rather than being ashamed. Like right now you've been ashamed of this person rather than thinking like, you know what? I caught this at 6 pounds. Look at me.
Yeah. Could have been a lot worse. So
think of how worse it could be. I just be like, look at me.
Yeah.
And, like seriously, what is it going to take pride in that moment? I gained 6 pounds.
Yeah, I don't know.
Does pride think, is one of the opposites of shame?
That's a good question. I'll have to write about that.
Once you write about how I can be proud of this versus being ashamed of it, and I'm going to bet you it will make following your plan way easier than fueling it with shame.
I think that's something that's been coming up a lot in my TDLs is just noticing how my beliefs around negative reinforcement of like, oh, if I'm shitty to myself, I'll have faster results because I'll want to not be. But I think like what you were talking about with the last call too is that ends up just making me more comfortable with shitty thoughts about myself. And then, and then the idea of having pride about that, like seems more foreign than not.
That's where the hardest work is. I'm going to tell you most of us in this tribe, the hardest work we're ever going to have is being truly proud of all of it.
Yeah.
Even in these things that we were choosing shame over.
Yeah. Well, and I feel proud that, you know, we're talking right now and that I'm coming to camp in April and I'm still in it. And,
so you have a lot to be proud of.
Yeah.
I just offer all of you that any time that you spend in shame is wasted time.
Yeah.
It's rare that I'll tell you what, the first person that comes to me and says, oh my God, I just spent a week in shame and you won't believe how much weight I lost and how much better I feel.
Right.
Like you rarely have anybody come on the call and be like, I'm so full of shame. I don't even need help. I just want to high five you, Corinne. You brought all the shame up for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it sucks. And it's that whole idea of negative emotion does not get positive results. Because here's a model that I would like for all of you to see. Some of you can like have shame as your feeling and your action becomes white knuckled, not eat. Like your thought is I'm so fat and out of control. There are people, I know my terrible handwriting. Some people will, their action will be white knuckle, restrict, drive. Like they will do things on their action line and they'll lose weight, but their emotions will be out of control.
Yeah.
Their future becomes out of control.
Their life
becomes out of control because they've gotten theirs this way.
Yeah. Well, in times that I've dropped the most amount of weight, it's because I was either over-exercising or restricting or some combination of both. And I'm sure I was insufferable. I'm sure I was not that much fun. And I don't really even remember being that glad about having lost weight because I was just generally miserable doing it.
Yeah. Or you just down here, like if the thing is I'm so fat and out of control, the result of shame and white knuckling weight loss becomes you have a big old bunch of fat mental weight now to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've gained like 50 pounds of mental weight. We always I think there's like this big, it's like we all kind of think that if I was just thin, I'd be happy. Like all of it would get fixed there. And it's like a lot of people lose weight and you are happy about certain things. But overall, if you're terrified that you're going to regain and you've only taught yourself how to white knuckle and things like that, eventually comments stop being made, the scale stops moving, and you have nothing that's making you happy externally happening anymore. So now you're just left with your fear and your anxiety and your deprivation. That's why it backfires. Because it's like, yeah, there's a moment when you lose your weight where everything feels so amazing. Everybody's noticing and you're getting all this validation. But if you're hanging on to this shit and this is how you're getting there, the crowd quiets and goes home after a while. It's just like, I've been, what, it's almost 15 years now. No one ever comes up to me and says, oh my God, you've lost so much weight. Y'all all know me as thin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get that anymore. I either got to be confident in myself and trust myself and believe in me, because if I'm waiting on the scale and the crowd to do it, I'm going to have a long wait and I'm going to be left with whatever garbage is in here.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You no more beating yourself up. You don't.
Okay. Thank you.
This is the theme of today. All right. It's good seeing you.
Yeah, you too. See you in a few months.
All right. Bye, girl.
Bye.
Judith, let me grab you. I'm going to do Judith and Michelle Joyner. And then we're going to get out of here. Mama's sweating like a pig.
Hello?
Hey.
Do you hear me?
I hear you.
All right, let's see. Okay, let's see if we're going to. Okay.
I was trying to figure out which Judith I was getting. I've got so many now.
Yeah, no, this is Judith. As one of my groups from camp says, she always goes, Robin B. from Nashville. I'm Judith from Green Sea.
There you go.
Little what are we coaching Green on? Anyway, today, first I want to make just a few quick comments. Number one, thank you so much for what you do. The call, two calls ago, with counseling, and you did it at camp as well, when people automatically, and we all do it, you said it, go to, you know, oh, he's such a jerk, or she's such a jerk, or whatever. Thank you for reminding us that it's our thoughts that matter. I paid a lot of good money for counseling 3 years ago to get to that point. And I was in marriage counseling, I did end up getting divorced. But at the time that I chose to divorce, it was my decision and I could move forward with it and feel good. And during that time, I vented to friends and they were all in agreement with me and all of that with what a jerk he was. But bottom line, I was the one that had to make the action. So thank you for bringing that front and center. Then number two, I do want people to know accountability groups work. I have made a commitment that I will ride my sit and cycle bike 15 minutes every day for the month of November. And the only reason that I do that when I don't want to do it is I am not going to look at those girls on Marco Polo the next day and go, oh, I didn't do it. So accountability works. And since camp, I have made huge improvements with all right. my thought work around work. You actually informally coached me on work, and the bottom line was the boss is the boss. And I know that, but actually internalizing that and saying, that's all you got to think, Jude. That's the only thought. You don't have to agree with everything. Just think that thought. Work has become a place I want to be again. So thank you.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
All right. Now for my coaching, and I know, but last night for the first time, I do not consider myself a binge eater. I didn't consider myself an emotional eater until I heard your podcast about eating for relaxation and social. And I was like, hot dang, I'm an emotional eater.
Oh my gosh. I forgot that relaxation and fun were feelings.
Yeah. Okay. So normally in the evenings I sit and I used to call it, and Betsy called me out on this. I would say I play my mindless computer games in the evening. And she's like, wait, is mindless a good word? You know, so we went through all of that. Last night I finally realized that my computer games keep me from putting food in my mouth, because I had dinner and I had a great dinner. I made a pot roast in the Instapot because our stove and oven isn't working, and it was great. And I ate to my two, and then I was like watching TV, and I was like, not want something. And I went, I mean, I can't even say, I don't know how they got in my mouth. I walked into the kitchen. There was a full bag of Goldfish crackers, went and got it, sat down on the couch and ate 5/6 of the bag.
Okay.
And it was like, just realizing, and my sweetheart, Calvin, he's like, after a while, he's like, you need to put that away. Stop. Don't eat those anymore. You've eaten the whole bag.
I know you're going to be an ass to everybody later because you ate those.
And it wasn't even that. It was just like, he knows how hard I've been, how hard I've been working. I told you I'm on the phone. I'll get to you in a minute. That's my grandson.
Yeah. Let him know. Who's boss? Nana is boss.
That's right. Manga. Manga is the boss.
Manga, yes.
So, but anyway, so, and he was really good about it because he knew, like, I wasn't going to be ill to him, but eventually I was going to be ill to myself. And just realizing that and then thinking it through, journaled on it and all of that stuff and going, okay, the old you before computer ate. The new me. So, you know, okay, the computer, and I've toned down on that as well, but realizing that old behavior is always going to be there. And I guess that was my point. I guess I just wanted to get some input on that, that, and I know you coach on this a lot, that the old behavior is always going to be there, but I didn't take shame for it. I owned up to it and said, well, that was pretty sad, but why did you do it?
Why is it sad?
It was sad in that I found myself, I guess not sad, but I found myself reverting to a former version of myself. And it is not sad now that you've said that. It was very enlightening because I don't want to be that old person.
I want you to hear the drama. I'm reverting to the old version of myself. Our circumstance. One night, 5/6 bag of Goldfish.
Yeah.
What is the day with you guys? This is drama day. It's like, oh my God, I must be reverting to the old version of me.
And I honestly didn't. You're right. When it's said that way and when I hear it, yeah.
And no wonder your first feeling was sad. It's just sad. Like, all it took was some Goldfish and all me is back.
Okay. Yeah. So it really is. So the fact, the circumstances, I ate Goldfish, the thought is move on. The new thought, the intentional thought just needs to be move on. Then my feeling is actually empowering. I think that, you know, like, okay, just move on. The action is I close the bag and throw the rest away.
Yeah, you teach yourself to catch yourself when you're eating. Because here's the thing. Our old eating patterns are going to hang out for a long time. My old eating patterns are still around 15 years. I just don't get cranked up when it happens. I don't think I'm reverting back to that version of me. Okay. I stop. I don't make it a big ass deal. But I always, what I do is I still do my food journal. And then I eat off my plan the next day. One of the questions is, did I follow my plan? Why or why not? I will ask myself, why did I eat the Goldfish?
Okay.
It can be something, like, seriously, it can be something as simple, Judith, as, oh, I was bored and I used to do computer games. And when I was bored, I just went and got the Goldfish. Like, there doesn't have to be some kind of, like,
some
weird,
big deal.
My old version of me stuff's coming back. It could just be, I just notice that I get bored in the evenings. And maybe there's just going to be sometimes, like, you can, like, and I'm all in on if you want to sit and you want to process some board discomfort and all this other stuff. If you're just like, you know what? I'd rather play video games tonight than eat.
Okay.
Like, you get to do what you want, but
right.
It's a much easier choice, and it doesn't become a big deal when we're just not making it a big deal. Because if you keep feeling sad about this, what do you think your action is? Like,
oh, I'll just keep buying Goldfish and eating them. Well, or find other things to eat.
You can be kicking up the old habit. It doesn't become a habit until you've done it a few times. Right now, all we got is an incident.
Yep. Yep. You know,
that's all we got. But a few days of thinking this is terrible and this is coming back and all this others, I was like, well, let me just see if I can eat a few goldfish. And the next thing you know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Yes.
The thing is, like, you let your mind go wild.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're kicking up the habit and you're letting your mind go wild, guess what? You start acting like the old you.
The old me. Mm-hmm. All right. You model it so much better than I do. No, but that I, yeah. And I am. And thank you, because I am learning to see drama for drama. And that's been huge, both personally, work, everything. I'm just like, cut it to the facts. And what are we doing?
One of the keys for this, like what I think is what I do that makes it so clear is I think you guys always think there must be some kind of hidden thought, or I need to dig down. Like, mm-hmm. You don't think thought work's complicated. I'm never doing complicated thought work, ever. I keep it real simple with you guys. I always pull out the most obvious thing you just said.
Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm reverting to the old me. Like, there, like we could dig around in there, but there's no sense. But I always make a very specific, almost always a very specific circumstance.
And so I've learned to do that more since camp.
Yes. So if when you're doing your own personal models, all you guys, do your thought download first. And then whatever the gist of it is, come up with a real specific circumstance. And then just plug one of them bad boy thoughts in right underneath it and be like, huh. Like a lot of times you'll see like, shit, I'm like making this a really big deal. I think one of the other things is when you do your thought downloads, I know that I'm kind of teaching this at the same time. Betsy is actually having a model workshop on Thursday, or I think it's Thursday. Is it Thursday? We are doing some new kinds of calls. Like I did a recovery lab, and I think Betsy is teaching a model workshop on Thursday so that you guys can dig more into them. So mm-hmm. It's 5 p.m. Central. She's going to teach you guys about the importance of the circumstance, like why that's so important. But if you don't do models at all, the best solid you'll ever do for yourself is that little box on your planner, write in it every day, and then mm-hmm. just underline the facts and let your brain be like, fuck, that's all there is.
Yeah, and I have with the new planner, I have actually done that. I like the new planner, and which isn't the new planner now, it's the current planner, but that has been making a huge difference.
Yeah.
And learning to model good days too. Yes. That was one of your podcasts.
Good days.
And
yes.
You know, learning that it's just as important to model the good days.
Yes.
So
much.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye, sweetheart. All right. I'm going to call on Michelle. Is Rebecca Main here? Rebecca, I had said I would coach you today after a post that you had in Facebook. So I want to make sure I get you if you're here. So if you are Rebecca Main and you want to get coached, you need to raise your hand. Michelle, I was going to call on you because you came to the last call. That was just for us to talk about Transformation Weekend, where we're focusing on relationships. But she was like, oh, I wanted to get coached on a relationship. All right. I'm glad you came back. I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to get you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, awesome. Like sometimes I get on the call and I can't be heard.
Okay. Well, what are we working on?
So, okay, a couple of things, two things actually. It's mostly about work. I've been an engineer for 10 years, and I feel as though I've done everything I want to do in that job, and I'm looking forward to transitioning. I feel like I've wanted to be a life coach almost my whole life. And I'm looking forward to transitioning into that. And it's definitely going to be a transition. It's not like I'm quitting tomorrow.
Boom, I'm out. I'm life coaching y'all.
Yeah, exactly. It might take a year. It might take 2 years. And then, you know, I'll be done with engineering and be a full-time coach. But I am wondering, how do I think about it? Like, I have this engineering job mm-hmm. that quite honestly, I'll just say, I don't really like it. I just don't like it.
Why don't you like it is the question.
Oh,
you have to love it. Like, you don't have to be like all in love, but I need to know why you don't like it.
I don't like it for a lot of reasons. Like, for one thing, I just don't like the work. Like, it's kind of boring. It's just like, it's not interesting to me, the work that I'm doing, and it's not interesting or fulfilling. And it's not as though it has to be interesting, because it's a job. And I hear people say all the time, it's not your job's job to entertain you. And so I kind of like, it's not interesting, but it's okay. I'll do it anyways. You know, it's like, I just accept it, but I'm not going to tell myself I love the work.
Yeah.
Cause I really don't. And then right now I don't like my boss. But for that thought too, I'm like, well, I don't like her, but
why?
Well,
I don't want you doing.
Yeah.
You're running the risk of this model. The circumstance is, don't like my job.
Oh, is that a circumstance?
No.
I thought that would be a thought.
It's a thought. But you're kind of like that's your thought. But I think here's what this, all right, let's put that on the thought line. Here's what kind of what the circumstance feels like to me.
Yeah.
Not engineering a good job.
Engineering is a bad job.
Yeah. It's like engineering is boring.
Yeah.
I have a good boss. And then it's like, and I don't like her, or, you know, whatever it is. It's coming like, and I'm not 100% sold that you're there, but you're running the risk of trying to feel good about something you've just decided is a circumstance in your life that you're not going to like.
Yeah, because where I'm going with this is that I somehow think that engineering as a circumstance, if I could just change my circumstance to life coaching, I would feel better. Like, that's where I'm at.
I shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
If you don't really understand your job as a circumstance, then what happens is when you become a life coach, there will be parts that will be amazing, but the parts that aren't amazing, it will be life coach's fault.
Yeah.
So when you're building a business and your Facebook ads aren't working and like all these things that you have to do aren't working, it'll be like, it's because building your own business is hard.
Yeah.
It will, like, you have to really understand it's your thoughts about it that are causing your feelings. Like, I would rather you be telling yourself, like, I'd rather you be sitting there and saying engineering, and your thought is, this is not my life's work.
Yeah, that's where
I know this. Like, I can show up every day and get my paycheck, and I can be an amazing employee, and I can do all of the things. But I know it's also not my life's work. I don't have to sit there and think, well, engineering's boring.
Yeah.
Because that, I think, is your circumstance. Engineering is boring, and your thought is, but I need to try to like it.
That's not quite where I'm at. I mean, I have the thought, and I did coaching on this with Kathy, that it's just not the right place for me. Yeah. Because, to be honest, I see a lot of engineers there who love it. I know people who did. So I know that it's good for some people. It's just, I don't want to do it anymore.
Go ahead.
I just don't want to think that my life is going to be better just because I'm life coaching, because that's just truly my circumstance.
Right. I think you have to understand your life is great now. You're just in a job that where you just go and get paid. It's not your life's work. But if you think life coaching is going to be your life's work, then let's put engineering up here. And rather than focusing on, like, I mean, I'm all about the first transition thought being, this is not my life's work. But guess what the next thought has to be? Otherwise, the next 2 years are going to be boring and purposeless.
Yeah. I'm grateful for this job that I have right now.
We can do that. But how do you want to spend, let's say, engineering for the next 2 years? Are you life coach certified yet?
Nope.
So you're going to get life coach certified, I assume?
Yes.
Or do something?
Yeah, through Brooke.
Engineering for the next 2 years while getting certified.
Right. And building the business.
While getting cert and building a business.
Mm-hmm.
So now how do you want to feel about this circumstance?
Acceptance.
You want to be in acceptance.
Yeah.
How much traction is acceptance going to get you? Like, I want you to think about the energy behind acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's a different, I think you're trying to gin up a thought about a different circumstance. I really want you to think this. Engineering for the next 2 years while I'm getting my certification and I'm building a business.
Well, okay. My true feeling is like frustration. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to, I want to quit tomorrow. That's where I'm really at.
Yeah. That's because you really don't have this, you've not nailed yet that this job in engineering has purpose for you. You think it's purposeless.
I just hate it though. It's not just that it's purposeless. I feel like it's driving me crazy.
That's the, it's driving me crazy.
Yeah. That, I mean, I hate it.
Can it ever drive us crazy?
It's triggering me to hate it.
No, it can't trigger you either. It's just engineering. Okay. Just sitting there. Just here I am, some engineering work. I can't really do anything to you. They'd be like going, you know this pen, Corinne? It's triggering me to hate it. Engineering is like this marker.
Okay. And are people like the marker?
Yeah.
Like my boss?
And your boss. They're all a marker.
Okay.
Do you know what you have? Thoughts about the marker. Thoughts about the boss and thoughts. Right now, you're blaming the engineering for how you feel and how you think.
Yes.
It's doing all this to me. It's not doing anything to me. I'm sitting here thinking shitty thoughts about it and trying to tell myself, like, I think you're kind of proving my point. Your circumstance is anything but neutral. Otherwise, you wouldn't blame the circumstance for how you feel.
Okay. Where do I go? What do I do?
I want to do one other model with you where you've got first. Why is it frustrating that you have to show up for your engineering job for 2 more years while you're getting certified and while you're building a business?
Mostly because of my boss. And I feel as though she makes up a lot of unfair rules that she doesn't apply to anyone else, but she applies them to me. She has this assessments of me and that I feel they're not fair. And it's just,
why are they not fair?
Because they're not based on actual work that I'm doing. She'll say, you need to improve in this when I actually have improved. Or
that's
she'll
your
say,
standard. Now, what you're saying right now to me is her opinion doesn't matter. It's my opinion that matters on her assessments. No wonder you feel like shit about them. She has a different opinion.
I don't agree with her opinion, though.
But doesn't she get to have it? Like, there's a difference between I don't agree with what she's saying and her opinion's wrong.
I feel like both of those things are my thoughts.
They are both your thoughts, and they're both hosing you. But I'm just going to tell you, they're two separate thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
One hoses you more. When you think somebody else's opinion is wrong, that's like, she's, you know what? Both of you have something in common. She's like, hey, Michelle, I think your opinion of you as an employee sucks. Here's the real one. Here's mine. And you're like, no, my opinion is more important. Your opinion sucks. Here's mine. Whose opinion is right?
I'm not sure either of them are objectively right.
Yours is right for how you feel about your performance. Hers is right for how she feels about your performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, she can have her opinion and I can have mine.
Yeah. Like, hers doesn't have to suck. You can totally own your opinion without saying hers is wrong. It shouldn't be happening this way. That's called resistance. And that's why it feels terrible for the next 2 years and frustrating. If you think this is wrong, it shouldn't be happening this way.
Okay.
You'll learn all this in life coach school. No, you will.
Yeah,
you
really will. I know. I know I'm not in the right place. That's why I asked for coaching. Cause like I had this thought that my life will get better when I change my circumstance, and my current circumstance is going to be this way for a while. And I'm just going to white knuckle through it. Like I know it's not a great place to be.
No, I think you're in the perfect place because this is going to give you so much thought work to do to be a better coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, like what makes me a good coach is I don't just go tell you guys how to change your circumstances. I don't tell you what to eat, and I don't tell you, oh, you're going on vacation. Here are the restaurants to go to.
Mm-hmm.
What makes me a good coach is I make you figure out your thoughts and your feelings for you. Any coach can help you with your action line. Any coach can tell you, oh, you should, oh, you don't like that job? I would quit. Go get another one.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the thought I want you to be thinking about as one to try on for a little bit. Mm-hmm. This job is setting me up to be a great life coach.
Mm-hmm.
All my thought work, all my practice work, learning how to really identify the difference between how I'm thinking and what's going on, it's happening here. When I'm agitated, it's thought work time. This is what life coaches do all the time. Mm-hmm. It's all we do.
I do a lot of thought work on it, and I just got tired of it. And I was like, I'm just not going to think about this anymore. And instead of, I was like, I would do thought downloads of models every day. And it was just like oppressive. So I was like, I'm just going to take a break and think about other things.
I would start writing, this would be a really good exercise for you. How does this job fulfill your purpose now?
Okay. Okay.
If your purpose is to be a life coach, engineering has a lot of purposeful work in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I learn how to separate myself from someone else's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I learn how to, you know, make money and apply myself 1,000% here so that I'm already used to applying myself 1,000% when it's going to matter when I'm building my own business.
Mm-hmm.
Like thinking of all the ways that engineering actually is the perfect place to be for the next 2 years to get you where you want to go, which is right now you're thinking it's frustrating to be here. It's wasting my time to get to where I need to be in the next 2 years. I would like to just quit now.
Mm-hmm.
Quitting will only teach you how to teach your clients to quit.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing your thought work will only teach you how to tell your clients, oh, that's a thought you can quit working on. It's a hard one for both of us.
Yeah. So don't stop with the thought work is what you're saying. Like keep going. Because I was like, maybe I should just think about other things. But you think I should stay here?
I think you should stay right there. I think you should keep reminding yourself nothing's going wrong in engineering right now. Nothing's going wrong in my performance appraisals. What can I learn from her?
Mm-hmm.
She has such a different view of me. There's got to be something going on. And rather than just immediately dismissing everything, you don't have to like her. You don't have to agree with her or anything, but no harm is done in opening your brain up to curiosity at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And just wondering, how could she have that perspective?
Mm-hmm.
It makes your brain think on another level. It makes you think about yourself on another level. And then whatever you uncover, you don't have to agree with it. You can just be like, that's interesting, but I really don't think that's it. Or you can just be like, I would have never thought that had I not challenged myself to think like the next version of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about, because there are legitimate, like there are specific things that she will tell me that I need to do or think, like, I'll give you an example. I came up with an additional, it was a club. It was a culture engineering club that I invited people in the company to talk about innovation and leadership and things like that. And I was told that I could not charge company for time for that. I had to charge my own time for that. But other people in the company come up with things and they get to charge company time for that. And I was just thinking, that's just not fair. And
that thought just isn't helping you. Whether okay. it's fair or not, it's just not helpful. Because if you feel okay. terrible about that thought and that's yeah. gonna be the rule, it's just right. kind of telling yourself, like, it is fair. There's no, like, thinking it's unfair hoses mm-hmm. me. But if this is mm-hmm. going to be the rule for this particular thing, it's fair to me to just, if I want to keep doing it and not, like, because here's the deal. If you're not getting paid for it, you can't charge company time, then it's your mm-hmm. decision whether you do it or not.
Yeah.
They can't make you work off the clock. Now that would be mm-hmm. called illegal.
Well, I mean, but that's what I'm doing. Like, she'll say, well, just you worked extra. So, I mean,
but then
I guess, like,
say, like, if this is not company, this is how you do it. Like, rather than it being a fair thing,
mm-hmm.
these solutions come to you more when you're like, oh, I didn't realize that. I don't think I'm going to do it anymore because I have other things I would like to be doing on my own time then.
Okay. All right. So then I take ownership and I take power over the situation and just, instead of saying, like, I'm a victim, this is happening to me.
Rather than sitting in the corner doing models and being like, oh, it's so unfair. Now I'm stuck in right. my thought work and I'm just going to abandon all of it and be frustrated for the next 2 years. We could mm-hmm. always just be the victor rather than the victim.
Okay. All right. I see what you're
that
saying.
Makes sense. It's like looking for the little things that you tell yourself about the engineering job and just being like, what if it was fair? It was mm-hmm. completely fair of them to decide that this is a project they don't want to pay for. It's also completely fair for me to say, hey, if I'm not getting paid, I'm not going to do these. I'm not going to do this side project.
Right.
Now I know. Thank you for telling me. And then you just move mm-hmm. on. And if they say, oh, well, we still wanted you to do it. And so I'm just like, okay, well, when I do stuff like that, I expect to be paid. Let me know if your rule changes.
So let me ask you about another circumstance. She told me I have an illness and I miss work sometimes. So I would work weekends or work through my lunch break to make up time. And she said, no, you can't do that. You can only work through 4 hours, which is not what lots of other people work weekends and work through lunch. And I feel like that is unfair. So how should I think about that? I'm just asking, like, I feel like I need to get some traction on this.
You drop the same thought of it's unfair. You mm-hmm. think about, in this case, you go and you get into her head. Why would she mm-hmm. not want me to work through lunch? Why do I think she's telling me not to work on the weekends and not to work through lunch? What could her perspective be? Rather than go into it's not fair and I'm a victim. Now I feel terrible. And all I do is look around for more ways that she's hosing me. That's your model right now. And your model mm-hmm. is just terrible for you while mm-hmm. she's just over here being her.
Yeah.
So it's like allowing yourself, like, I love to get into somebody else's model. I like to think, like, okay, that is, like, that's what she's thinking. Like, she tells mm-hmm. me this. I wonder why, like, let me come up with 10 reasons why she might tell me this. And it could be for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you go through them, you'll either be like, oh, well, that would make sense why she says that. Or like, you know, I just can't make sense of it. It's probably if I can't make sense of it and I've done my thought work, then I just need to go ask her and just be like, can we just talk about, like, I do notice that other people do this is, you know, I'm not complaining. I just want to understand
mm-hmm.
why this is the rule for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you do it from a place of like legit, not like you're not mad. Instead of you first, like before you talk to anyone, you have to be in a place of like, I have decided to see your side of the story before I just mm-hmm. assume what the story is.
Okay. So it's not going to help me to think it's because she's a jerk.
No, never. Because let me just tell you in life, this would just be like, for example, you're going to have a client someday
and she's mm-hmm. going to say things. And you've got to practice right now not assuming people are jerks when you don't agree with the stuff they tell you. You know, okay. as a coach, you don't think anything about your person. You also don't have an agenda. And sometimes when you're coaching, the best skill you have is to drop into that person's mind while they're talking to figure out mm-hmm. what is it that they're really trying to tell me right now. Mm-hmm. I need to ask them a question. You're learning how to do all this with your boss.
Yeah. Because I honestly, Corinne, I started out in a really bad place where it was, I hate her. And then it was, I don't have to hate her. And then it was, she's a jerk, but I can handle it. Like, she's a jerk, but I'll just be okay with her being a jerk. And I was like, this can't serve me. Like, this can't be the place to settle on.
Yeah, I think it's more of like deciding right now.
Mm-hmm.
She's a neutral circumstance and look okay. at all the facts, like mm-hmm. legit write them down, and every one of them will be a circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, told not to work on weekends and stuff, and staying away from your, like, you already know your models. It's unfair. She's a jerk. She's all these things, right? This mm-hmm. shouldn't be happening to me. You've already mm-hmm. done that side of it. Now let's just do the mm-hmm. other side where we're like, if I was going to open my mind up to other possibilities, let me just see. And that helps you clean all your space up.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there is something going on where maybe she's, you know, maybe she does have inconsistencies as a boss and you need to go talk to her, you're ready to talk to her. Not because here's what happens. Most of you will walk in once you got your shit full, then you act like an asshole to your boss and then wonder why they want to fire you. Mm-hmm. And you'll think you have all this ammunition or whatever. Or you just sit back and you spend 2 years of your life miserable thinking this is going to fix everything. And then you lose 2 years of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other ways to do it.
Yeah. And I think, like, it's for me. Like, I want to feel better. It's not like anything to do with her or my job or anything. It's like, it's really just me. Like, this is for me. It's not like I'm doing it for her. I'm doing it for myself.
Yeah.
And my poor husband who has to listen to me complain every day. I'm doing it for us.
Well, I think that's why it's so important for you to do this for yourself, because she's mm-hmm. going to keep being who she is.
Yeah.
Even if you mm-hmm. go in and have all the things for her,
mm-hmm.
she's still going to be who she is. She's mm-hmm. not going to change. She probably likes who she is. Most yeah. of us do. But this really helps, because I watch people, like, people are saying, ooh, document and go to HR and stuff like that. That's fine. There's a time and place for documentation and everything. But people who go to HR, I know this because I've worked in HR back in the day. My husband used to counsel HR all the time. He's a great leader. People who go in who have done their thought work and they go in with the facts, HR listens. When they go in a hot mess saying, well, she told me I couldn't work on weekends, and you know I'm sick, and she's so unfair, and blah, blah, you know, when you go in the victim,
mm-hmm.
they just think this is somebody who thinks the world's out to get them, because mm-hmm. they're human too.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us don't sit around on this elevated thought level pillow all day long, being able to just rise above the mud. If you have things that you eventually want to talk to your HR department about or your boss about, knowing your facts versus your own opinions will serve you very well, because you'll be able to go mm-hmm. in and you'll be calm. No one's a villain. This is just mm-hmm. what's happening. I don't know mm-hmm. that I agree with it. Can we talk about it? That's a very different conversation than going in like, this job sucks. My boss is so unfair. She's always mm-hmm. making me she do things. She doesn't pay me like she pays everybody else. Like, when we go in like that, you just don't sound as professional as the other version. You okay. know? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I feel like I'm a little bit far away from where I need to be. So I'm going to have to watch this video again and maybe come back later for more assistance.
Just listen to it a few times and sit mm. with all the things you know about you right now. You don't have okay. to. This is the thing. You've already agreed this model we've been doing where you're frustrated and you're just mm-hmm. making peace. You're already there. Nothing's going to get yeah. worse.
Yeah.
You were already in an agreement that for the next 2 years, you could just get through it. Mm-hmm. Now all we're doing is we're looking at, do we want to do it the way we've been doing it, which has been okay? Or do we want to start leveling up? And what pieces do I want to start leveling up with first?
Okay.
That's it. So don't put pressure on yourself. Just watch yourself for a little bit and notice what's going on. Because what will happen after this call when you go to work, every time you have thoughts about her, you'll suddenly be like, it's one of the judgmental thoughts I have about her. I don't know if this is serving me. You're going to hear your internal conversation just a little different Monday.
Okay.
But that's a good thing. That's what you want to hear. You want to hear your mental conversation.
Perfect.
All right.
Thanks, Corinne.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, everyone. That's it for the day. Well, actually, we've got 20 more minutes. I keep forgetting that this call is 2 hours long. Let's grab Lisi MC. Oh, let me take you down, Michelle. Sorry. I keep forgetting today's a two-hour call. I'm about to wet my pants, too. Just letting everybody know I've drank three of these in the last 2 hours. I am great at drinking the water. Lisi, are you here? I don't think she meant to have her hand up. Change role to attendee. Heidi? Make sure if your hand's up, that you mean for it to be up. Hey, somebody down here said she needs to have a conversation with her boss. I agree, but she needs to have the conversation with her boss after her brain is in the right place. Do y'all understand the difference? Heidi, is that you?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Let's get your video started. But one of the things I want to go back to with the lady before, Michelle, is I'm all about having those conversations, but I want on the action line, the conversation to be fueled from I take full responsibility for my side versus it's all her fault. Because that conversation will go in a different way. And then she'll either go in with a fault-finding conversation or she'll go in taking responsibility for her piece and just stating facts. And I think that was the different thing. Your camera is straight dope upside down.
Yes, and I'm trying to figure out.
Can you flip it over?
It's on my laptop.
Oh, that's weird. Well, just go ahead. What are we coaching on? We'll just have to be upside down.
I apologize.
That's okay.
Okay. So I did the training on Thursday where it was bring your urge food. I wasn't hungry. So I had gotten what I call my trigger foods are okay. Ice cream and cereal.
Okay.
I had both, but I wasn't hungry. So I didn't eat them. I didn't lick them. Any of the above. Planned for them. And actually in my head, I had been like, hey, this is awesome. I wonder how long I can let that pint of ice cream sit in, you know, the freezer. Awesome. Yeah. Yesterday. So yeah, Friday, I was like, I think I'm going to have a little bit. I had planned for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how you get to that point where you go, this isn't worth saving. So I'm just going to finish it, which I proceeded to do.
But that's not a point we get to. That's a thought we have.
True.
Okay. Fair. Okay. Making sure.
Absolutely. Very true. And I don't know if it was more of a, see, this is why I don't keep these in the house because I don't know how to control it yet, or I don't know how to.
Well, that would be a thought
okay.
that you're having about the ice cream after you've ate it. So we have two models.
Okay.
We have ice cream in the action where we're eating it. And the thought was what? The original one?
See, this is why I don't keep them in the house.
No, that's ice cream in the sea line.
Oh.
That's your thought about ice cream after you've ate it. See, this is why I don't keep them in the house. Your thought prior to ice cream is, well, I've already ate this much. There's no sense in not finishing.
Correct. Okay. Yes.
So I wanted to point that out because with the model, a lot of times I think you guys get it confused. It's like this thought is about the circumstance when the ice cream is up here. So the ice cream is now like, what am I thinking about the ice cream? now that I've ate it. The thought, there's just a little bit left, why stop now? As action line, finish off the ice cream. Okay. So what do you want to work on?
I guess I'm trying to figure out, well, one, I know I'm in a frustrated point because I was doing really, really well.
Quit saying I was doing well. No more saying that. Just say, I'm doing well. I've hit upon my next roadblock. That's all you got to be thinking about. Like, guys, you're going to hit stuff. But thinking that every time you come up on a problem means I was doing well. Now I'm doing terrible. A mistake is not a terrible thing. A mistake is the next lesson in the course of weight loss. That's all it is. Unit 3 is here. All right, go.
Three.
Sorry.
Okay. Okay, I'm trying to figure out how to reframe this then.
No, you just talk. You just talk. I just want to pull that out because all of you tell me that every single call, and I'm like, you have to quit thinking mistakes are bad. They're not bad.
I was losing consistently 5 to 6 pounds a month.
Okay.
And then starting in about March, and then in August, I had a medication change, which technically, I hate saying that word, the medication that I had to go back on thyroid medication, which actually should have sped up the process.
Okay.
I've been tracking via the habit trackers for 3 months, and I'm literally going back and forth in the same 3 pounds. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I stopped losing basically the same time as I went back on that medication, which does not make logical sense because the type of medication it is, it shouldn't be. So I was like, so I've tried to hone in back onto my, you know,
You've been maintaining basically since August after the weight change.
Apparently very well. I am maintaining like a boss.
Maintaining. All right. August med change, started maintaining. Okay.
Yes.
All right. And then when you look at your habit tracker, what is your percentage? Do you know your percentage for September, October? How many 24-hour plans you made?
Both 24-hour plans. I've literally missed one 24-hour plan since March 12th.
Okay, so I'm going to give you 100%.
We're 100% basically there.
Followed the 24-hour plan percentage.
Overall, when I did it, it was 91% for all seven.
I care about overall.
Okay.
Overall doesn't matter. Okay. This is the problem, right? We're not losing weight since August. We need to know August, September, October. That's the only 3 months that matter now.
Okay.
For us all.
I didn't bring my book in with me. Sorry.
Can't guess.
70, let's even go on the low side, probably 75%.
Okay. So I think 75% of the time eating my plan should work.
You're right. Okay.
75% is maintaining, hon. How do we know?
Because it's not moving.
Yeah, and we want to blame the medication.
That'd be
we don't want to, like, this is, and I'm, God love you for getting on this call and talking about this. This is what everybody wants to do. I don't want to work on the 25%, Corinne. What I want to do is sit here in my poopy diaper about a med change. I want to focus all my energy and frustration and effort on it should be going down. This meds, this has hosed me. This is why I'm not, like, you take your attention off of the obvious first stop in the land of fixing the problem, which is why is 25% of the time you aren't following your plan? So we have that one. What about hunger scale and honoring it? Are we 100% there?
Hunger scale would be, if I had to guesstimate, I would say 95 to 98, yes.
Okay, so then the next question is, so why am I tolerating 5% of the time? Not following, because we didn't follow our hunger scale at ice cream.
I think I've lost about 30 pounds since I started. doing this PMP, and I think I'm probably still eating 30 pounds ago. Whether that's a few bites, whether that's an... Okay.
Notice how there is some relief in like knowing like, oh, I don't have to spin out anymore about my thyroid medication. I probably just self-diagnosed my own problem by just looking at my numbers, just taking a moment to not be upset and frustrated and thinking things like I was doing so well. It's like, I was doing well. I'm still doing well. You know why? Because I'm going to choose to do well by looking at my numbers. What is my data telling me? Not what is my brain telling me? Your brain will always freak out and think you're a piece of crap. Your brain will always be like, we are going, what was it? I'm reverting back to my old self. You know, like from our other caller, your brain is unreliable, you guys. Stop relying on it to do jack shit other than, because it's 95% of your thoughts come from your habit brain. Your habit brain is only going to tell you bullshit that says you should really eat that ice cream. You're so frustrated about this med change. We should just eat that. Those thoughts will always come back up, but it's your conscious brain's job to be like, no, I'm the adult in the room. We're getting off the plateau. And I've noticed that my data says that 5% of the time I eat past my 2. This is one of those times. The 5% is going down now.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So just what I want you to do now is I just want you to think like, okay, so 25% of the time I'm not following the plan, I'm going to diagnose it. I'm going to be really curious about why, like the times I wasn't following, I'm going to go back and look at my logs. So one of the beautiful things you've done for yourself, this is why you are still doing well. You have data. You actually can go and figure out exactly what you need to do next. Some people don't have that. This is why I didn't want you just like throwing yourself under the bus. You don't have to. So go diagnose and be like, okay, what is it like? What is the easiest way to get me back to 100% compliance? What is the easiest way for me to enjoy ice cream to a 2? What is the easiest way for me to recalibrate my hunger scale just a little bit? How can I experiment and see? I guarantee you, you do that, this is over. We're on to the next stage.
So do you consider it an off-plan eat if, like I do mine at night, I do my planning at night, and then during the day, I do exchanges, I guess, is more of a what I figure I do. Okay. Oh, I had a salad. I had soup and salad down, but I just want the soup. So I still consider that on plan. Or yeah. I go, neither of those sounds great at the moment. And I know I've got cottage cheese or, you know, something that I guess I deem comparable. Does that still mean off plan? Or is that, am I being almost where I go, it's actually not 25%, Heidi. It's really 95.
In my mind, I would track it just because what I want to know is I want to track my behavior. So I would track it as an off-plan eat so that when you're going back to your data and be like, oh, so a lot of times I'm just trading out healthy foods, but these times I'm not, so you can just zero in faster.
Okay. Because I know that's probably what I do is I do healthy exchanges.
Yeah, as long as you're doing healthy exchanges, but I'm going to guarantee you, if you're not losing weight, there's something in the data. There's something in the 25% and the 5%. They will tell you, like, there's, like, all 25%. Like, yesterday was an off-plan eat with, well, no, you had the ice cream planned. Right. So you just need to work on hunger scale on that one.
Okay. So does your size ever change either?
Mm-hmm.
So it should
smaller
still-
you are, the less food it's going to take to get that body going around.
Okay, so the sigh will come earlier.
Or you'll get a different hunger cue, or you'll get a different satisfaction cue. You just have to keep paying attention is the biggest thing.
Okay.
What I've noticed a lot of people do when they're like on it, like when you're really consistent like you are, what a lot of people do is they will just spend an entire week eating significantly less per meal than they've been eating, setting it aside for a while, and just noticing if they get hungry or not. And when I say significant, I don't mean like you only eat a quarter of your food. Like some lady the other day, she had been plateaued for a while, read it in the Facebook group. She decided for 1 week she was just going to eat half of every meal that she had been serving herself just to see what would happen.
I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah. She busted her plateau and she was like, you could have knocked it. Like if you had asked her before, she would have been like, I would be starving. And then when she just decided to try it, she was like, I wasn't even hungry. Like it like knocked her over with a feather. Like, oh my God. I just didn't realize I'd lost so much weight that I just didn't need that much food. Then she just had to work on the morning process of eating less.
And that's still aiming for the 3 to 4 hours versus 2 to 3 hours.
If you want to.
Okay.
Even if you want to eat, if you want to eat every 2 to 3 hours, you're going to eat a lot less food.
I tend to fast until about 1 to 2 every day. And then I'm eating within a 6 to 8 hour window tops.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I just need to hone back in on the hunger scale and.
Yeah. Just check it out. Cause sometimes just check all your thoughts too. So this next week, whenever you eat, really ask yourself, why am I eating right now? What am I telling myself? And just see if there's any other thoughts coming up. Like, well, I fast. It's just time for me to eat.
Yeah.
Are you hungry yet? Is the question. Or, you know, I fast and I only eat twice a day. And if that second meal, like I only get two, so I'm going to eat this amount. It's like, well, but what if you need less?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably it. It's that weird. I'm not on the clock, but I'm on the clock and I don't want to eat because it's noon. But you know what I mean? That we're getting out of that old habit of it's mealtime.
You also could be just because you fast doesn't mean you have to eat by the clock. You can have a rough window of when you fast.
True.
I mean, it's I'm going to just tell you that fasting window and the like don't rule your life by that window. It's no different than somebody who eats every 2 to 3 hours. It's like literally no different.
True.
It's eating by the clock.
Yeah.
Do you want to be someone who eats by the clock, or do you want to be someone who just eats when they're hungry and stops when they're satisfied? And then like, if you want to have a cutoff time every day, just be like, This is when I just stop eating for the day.
Okay.
I know that if I've ate at 6, there's nothing that's going to happen between me and 9:30 that legit requires food. I may want it. I may be entertained by it, like all these things, but I just legit know I don't need it. Even if I'm hungry, I'm not dying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Good call. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, y'all, that is it. Y'all have a good one. Don't forget, we have calls. I am going to be out of town, get my train on, but I'm going to try to pop in and do a little maybe surprise Facebook Lives next week for you guys. Let me see. Miss Betsy is holding down the fort. Where is the today button? There it is. So next week. So there's no call tomorrow since we did our call today. So Sunday we are off. On... let's see. Monday night, the Queen's Club. Y'all have a call. Whoop, whoop. Wednesday night, office hours with Coach Betsy. Thursday night, this is all at 5 p.m., guys, across the board, Central Time. Thursday is the model with Coach Betsy. She's going to teach you all things about circumstances. And then next Sunday, I will be doing the calls from, I'm actually then going to California straight from there. I will be doing the call, the Tribe News Show, weekly planning and coaching with me. And that's it. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.